Hello and good afternoon here on a Saturday. Just want to say howdy to everybody. This is Pastor Tom, and we are going to be doing this type of a recording and or even a video as we move along in the next few Sundays that we're not at the building. And I just want to share some thoughts today. It probably won't be too long. And then I'm going to probably put it on my email, and then I'm going to attach it to the church. And so there's going to be people, hopefully, listening to this that are maybe in a place of, that need a little word, a little encouragement, something to come along in your life that you are just like saying, I just need something. I'm getting a little stressed. I'm seeing all this stuff. I go to the store, and I notice the whole aisle of toilet paper is gone, the hand sanitizer gone. Now people are beginning to buy food and overdoing it with the food. And so there's a lot of, a lot of excitement. How do I put it? A lot of nervousness. That's the best way to put it. Well, let me explain to you, first of all, where I'm at my house here. I live in Marana. And a nice home that my wife and I have, but this little office area that I'm sitting in, I'll kind of explain it to you. I've got some books over the years. I've probably gone down a lot in the book supply that I've had, and the reason is just all the moves that we've made. It's kind of like clothes that are stuffed into the closet there in the corner. Everybody says if you haven't worn that piece of clothing for about a year, probably not going to wear it at all. Something like that. Well, I had a lot of books, and most of them, of course, were Christian, and a whole set of commentaries and all of that. And so over the years, through all the moves, we just kind of looked at it and said, do I want that book? I don't want that anymore, that book. And so we got rid of a lot of the books. But on my bookshelf, I just want to explain here, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I try to rely upon just the actual hard copy books rather than heading for the internet. Yes, that is definitely outdated. But I'm looking at my Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. That's when you can look up a word, any word in the Bible, and you'll find the definition, the Greek meaning. Vine's has gone through this has gone through a lot of work in that one. I have an Encyclopedia of the Bible. Next to it is a Strong's Concordance. Next to that one is a Greek interlinear something. I can't see the words here. Then a Young's Concordance. I actually go to those books quite often. On my left over here, and I'm just trying to get you guys a picture of what's happening. I'm sitting in a love seat, and on my left is my Bible, and then I have my Greek-English Bible. Now, truth is, I've studied Greek, but the honest truth is, I don't know it as well as I really should. But I do like to look up words, and then I look up another word, and I get the meaning from different sources. That way, in the Greek, I feel like I can really share what the meaning of the words are. And then to my left is a window up there, farther left, and a desk that I don't use anymore, and a printer that I just bought that hopefully we'll print out my sermons one of these days. Anyway, it's a new printer. So there you have the room that I'm in. It's pretty nice. A couple of sayings on the walls here. Here's one. Your day will go the way the corners of your mouth turn. Kind of like that one. Then this other one says, never give up on anybody. Miracles happen every day. That one is meant for me. So never give up on myself. Let me share now what's going on here. I've made a mistake in my email I sent to everybody. My apologies about Psalm 92, I said. It's actually Psalm 91. I don't know if anybody picked up on that, but I did have somebody mention it to me, and I said, oh, yes, of course, Psalm 91. And I want to share a few verses out of Psalm 91, but why don't we do this first? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's ask God for his anointing, his blessing, and direction. As I move through this, I'm watching the clock. It's not going to be long. And oh, by the way, that clock up there, I'm looking at it right now. My mom and dad sent me that clock in Oregon. We were there probably 1977 or 78. So it's been around a long time and it's still ticking away. Wow. Replaced the battery every once in a while and it's still there. So it's still working. Okay, Psalm 91. And let's pray and ask God for his touch. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord and Savior of all mankind, the healer of our bodies, the restorer of our mind, the maker of heaven and earth, everything that we see, everything we hear has been given to us. The sounds around us are from the Lord. Those things that, like the music from the birds or the whisper of the wind blowing through the trees, something like that, God, is so comforting to us. And we just are reminded that you are still in charge. I pray that would be the message today for these people, the great people I'm speaking to, that they could hear this and rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord, the Bible tells us. You know, and Paul even mentions, God, that he said a second time to rejoice in the Lord. And so we just want to rejoice in the Lord today. I pray you'll bless the word of God in a very special way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 91, I want to share a few thoughts about Psalm 91 verses 1 through 4. Now, some of the verses that I will cover, and I may get to those today, just depends on how I move through these verses. But when I began to read Psalm 91, I felt like the writer of this psalm, doesn't say if it's David in my Bible, I don't know who wrote it, but that the writer seems to be really just such, has such victory in the Lord, such a great trust in God. As the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Such a wonderful time of praise coming from this man about the power of God, the writer of this psalm, exalting the Lord, praising the Lord for his mighty works, lifting up God. So here he begins with something that really touched my heart. And this is the reason I'm sharing this is not just the verses that are in the, about the heart of this psalm, but the beginning tells me everything. He says here that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is emphasizing there the need to go into your private place, your praying place. I've been talking about prayer, and this is what drew me to Psalm 91. I've been speaking about the need of praying and seeking the Lord and finding that place in your own life. Where is that place? One of the songs that has ministered to me lately in a powerful way is In the Garden. And I just keep playing it over and over and over again on my phone here because there's so many different styles of that song. But one of them is, it is put out there by the, I forget what they're called, the some kind of a gospel sisters singing, something like that. And it's a very southern gospel sound. And it got that sound that you almost only hear from that part of our country. And the harmonizing of the harmony of the In the Garden, I went to the garden alone, you know, and while the dew was still on the roses, and the voice that came to this person's ear and began to speak to them was the Son of God. It goes on like that. And so that person found that secret place. I think you can agree with that. There's a verse in there that speaks about night was beginning to fall. Now, think about this. They went out there in the early morning while the dew was still on the roses, and the day went on, and they walked with God, they talked with God, and he communed with them, they communed with, and God communed with that person, I mean. And so later in the day, as the night began to fall, it's amazing. Spent the whole day there and never probably looked at the clock. Probably never even thought about the time. And I have been in those places. They're very rare, so don't look at them as often. It'd be nice if we could live and abide there, you know, just forever. But real life comes to reality. I mean, we're part of the real world. But anyhow, so this person went to that secret place. So the writer of Psalm 91 says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty. God's shadow. Now, that's amazing to think about. Now, he'll go in more detail, the writer here. He'll speak about how we're protected like a mother hen protects her little chicks and hidden under the wings of the mother bird, you know, and watching over us. That's how God is over his children. So we find here that the Lord, in that secret place, they met together. What an honor that is. I'm going to encourage you to find that place. Get in that kind of communion. I know there's a lot of things in the way. I know. I've been there. I am there. I will always probably be there on this earth. But at this point, at this moment, this person found that secret place. And they said, I just want to stay here a while. I don't want to move. I don't want to turn around. I don't want to blink my eye too many times. I may miss something. I don't want to doze off. I don't want to become lazy. I don't want to become lax in my worship. I want to treasure this moment for as long as I can. That's the secret place of the Most High. A secret place means that's the place where you and God are having communion like nothing else in your life. There again is that in the garden song. I just heard the words in my head. This person now is going to speak out loud. I will say, the next verse is here. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Do you have a place in your life that you can call God your refuge? Your safe place. We hear a lot about safe places today, but God has a place for us that we're going to be safe. I think in this world of turmoil right now, and boy, are we in it. This coronavirus has really gotten a hold of our world. Italy and all that's happening over there, it just blows my mind. I can't wrap my mind around what's happening around the world and in America. And I think this thing will peak out in a few weeks. I'm hoping, I'm praying about that. And then it will kind of level off. And then after that, it begins to have a decline in the number of cases, and the panic and the concern will begin to level off. So I'm just going to say what I think, and it's a personal opinion, but I think in about 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to start seeing this thing really level off. Until then, it's going to kind of keep on like it is. So buckle up. We're in it for the ride. We can't go anywhere. We can't get out of this one because it's part of this world. So this man has found a place that he calls God my refuge, my safe place. I can talk to God right there and he'll talk to me. I can say what I want to and he listens. He's not offended by what I say and he doesn't get upset that I might be complaining at that moment. But later on, your complaints may turn into praise and you start to really feel that, oh yes, God is good. I recognize that. Then he goes into this one. It's so powerful. Surely the Lord shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. A fowler, some of you may know what a fowler is, but a fowler was a man. He was a bird catcher. And there's reasons for this. He would catch a bird. What he would do is he would have young birds that he would catch, and then he would train those up to be like his own, and they were very attached to him. And then he would use their voice, their chirping, and a cage to attract other birds. When the other birds would come, he would snare them into his trap, and then he'd have these other birds. I don't know if it was used for food or whatever, but a fowler is a bird catcher, and more like a professional bird catcher. Okay, so I want you to get this now. It says, the Lord shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, the one who wants to trap you and get you and put you away. And we know him by a name. He's called Satan. And he's got a lot of little workers, and they're not little. They're very cunning. Let me say this in the thought here. I'm having it right now that you'll never outsmart the devil. So put that one aside. You can't outwit him. You can't outmaneuver him. You cannot argue him. There's no argument that you can even begin to have against this enemy. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the full armor of God. We need protection, and we need covering, and we need help. We can't do this alone. And so we're in this battle together. But when we come up against the enemy, sometimes we believe that maybe through some kind of learning knowledge, I can overcome him, or some positive thoughts that I can use now, or some positive confession. All of that is great stuff, but that's not how we stand against the snares of the devil. We don't stand against him like that. We put on the whole armor of God, and then we're covered with the armor of God, and we can stand against that enemy and say, hold off there in Jesus' name. And Jesus will say, because you're using that powerful name, that's far enough, devil. You can't come any further. There's a line right there. You're not allowed to. And that voice, that person, Jesus, when he says it, then the enemy cowers backwards. I've seen him do it in people's lives when they've been so wrapped up in the enemy, so deep in the enemy's ways. And I would say, in the name of Jesus. And I watched this person, and I've seen it a couple, two, three more times throughout my life, but I've seen this happen. They cower backward. And I said, wow, that's amazing. But I don't want to stick on the amazing part. I just want to say, in the name of Jesus, we've got power over you. And they cower back. Amen. So the Lord is going to deliver us from the snare of the fowler, that trickiness. Oh my goodness. He's got his ways, the enemy. He knows how to get you, especially when you speak out loud. And I just thought, oh boy, maybe I'm into something you've never heard before. But I'll share more about that another time. But if you keep on saying out loud, I'm never going to make it, I'm never going to make it, I'm never going to make it, it's almost like a self-fulfilled prophecy. You probably won't make it. But if you say, I am victorious, and begin to talk victory, and begin to quote scriptures, things happen differently for your life. Amen. Then he gets into this, the Lord shall cover thee with his feathers. Do you hear the safety in this man's voice? Do you hear the protection? Do you catch the knowledge of the Lord in this man's life? That he says, my God is my Savior. He's my protector. He's the one that gives me the strength to go on. Now he's going to take and protect me with his feathers. He's using another analogy. No, God is not a great big chicken up in heaven, or a great big pigeon, or something like that. He is the Lord, but this man uses this analogy. He's probably knows birds pretty well, and he's probably seen this quite often, so he uses it. Then he says, under God's wings I shall trust. Under those wings, once you're safe in the arms of God, whoa, I'm okay now. This thing going on in the world is happening all around me. It's a mess everywhere. But in the Lord, I shall have peace. Calm, peace, soothing word of God. It's going to be all right. This is not the end, folks. This is not it. We're going to be okay. Just take it easy. Relax under God's wings. He's protecting you. Oh, I feel it. It's his presence. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. God's truth shall be my shield and buckler. Now, a buckler is another kind of shield. I don't know if you've seen they have the Roman shields that were the larger ones, the kind that they would actually kneel behind, and they could make a whole row of their armor when they're like on the front lines. And they were the ones, they would kneel down, and all the arrows coming from the enemy, they were able to have their, even call it a name, they call it, I believe, a turtle type of a stance. And that's when their shield was in front of them, and then above them, they would use the same shield. And I'm not quite sure how they put it all together, but I've seen pictures, and that would protect them. But then there were those smaller round shields. Well, the name for those is called a buckler. So the writer is talking about God's truth shall be my shield and my buckler. That's my protection. He didn't say that my truth shall be my shield and buckler, or my ways, or my knowledge, or my great input, or my understanding of the Bible, or my ideas, or my inspiration. No, he said, God's truth shall be my shield and buckler. You see, what we have here, just four verses, that's all I went through. I'm getting to the heart of it next week. I'll probably talk a little bit more this week with you, but I just want you to get a hold of this one, because the first four verses, because of where we are. What am I saying? Well, here's what I am saying to you. Your trust is in the Lord. You don't have anything to worry about. What if? Those are really scary words, aren't they? What if? What would happen if? If I went outside, if I go there, if I touch something, if somebody sneezes on me, if. I don't know, you guys. I don't know what would happen to you. But I'm not going to sit back and pretend like or hibernate in my home. I'm not going to do that. I've lived by faith all my life, and I'm not going to stop now. I have no intention of backing up and retreating. Jesus taught me to go forward. He gave me the armor, and he gave me a sword, and I'm going forward. And so I'm moving forward. I just want you to understand we're moving forward. This is a little click in God's timing. Amazing, isn't it? Click, like a little second. And it may to us last a few months and a long time. But I don't want you to use the word what if. So just don't go there. Practice saying, my trust is in the Lord. I trust him. He will see me through. And by the way, listen to this one. This will really inspire you. I want you to get a hold of this. And isn't Jesus the head of the church, right? Says it in Ephesians, and I think mentions it also in Corinthians and maybe other places, that Jesus is the head of the church. Now, as long as the head is above water, there's life in the church. Did you get that? As long as the head of the church is above water, there's life in the church. We're not dead. We're not slowing down. We're no slackers allowed. We're fighters. Get that fighting spirit in you, and let's get motivated, and let's go for Jesus. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to end this 20-minute sermon by saying thank you. We magnify you. We lift you up in all things. I pray for those that might have fear right now. The Bible says, Lord, your word says that perfect love casts out all fear. Give to us the perfect love of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.